From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Abu Sayyaf demands 8.4 billion rupiah in ransom. Despite coronavirus outbreak, Garuda keep flying to Seoul. Now the news in details. Canadian Embassy in Indonesia and its Mission for Association of Southeast Asian Nation or ASEAN are organizing speed mentoring for women professionals, the future leader of Indonesia. The event is held in the residence of Canadian Ambassador in Indonesia, Cameron McKay, on Thursday, March the 5th, to celebrate the International Women Day. Ambassador McKay said Canada is committed to empowering women to become leader.
Well, let me say that the Canadian government is committed to a feminist foreign policy, to a feminist international assistance policy. I think Prime Minister Trudeau was very clear when he took office in 2015 and he appointed 50% of his cabinet, ministers in the cabinet were female. He was very clear he wanted feminism to be a key part of his government's mandate. And we're following up on that today by helping to generate the next generation of women leaders in Indonesia.
Ambassador McKay said that women participation in any societies is very important for economic and competitiveness. The speed mentoring is an opportunity for mentor and participants to share their insights, experiences, and suggestions to overcome any obstacles. In this event, the women professionals could discuss many ways to support each other. Garuda Indonesia is flying on schedule to and from Incheon, Seoul, South Korea, despite coronavirus outbreak. President Director of Garuda Indonesia, Irfan Satyaputra, in a statement on Thursday said the airline is flying 14 times a week from Jakarta to Seoul and Denpasar to Seoul. Before the Indonesian Foreign Ministry released a new policy about prohibiting the arrivals and transit passengers who traveling to Iran, Italy and South Korea in the last 14 days. Notorious Abu Sayyaf Group is demanding 30 million peso or 8.4 billion rupiah as a ransom for the release of five Indonesians. Indonesia's top security minister Mahfud MD has revealed quoting a media report. Demand for ransom has been repeated for members of the Abu Sayyaf Group whenever they hold foreign hostages, though the request amounts are always different, the coordinating minister for political, legal and security affairs said, as quoted by Antara. Eight Indonesians working for a fishing vessel had been abducted by several armed criminals believed to be members of the Abu Sayyaf group in Tambisan waters of Tunku Lahat Dato, Malaysian state of Sabah, on January 16, 2020. The KPK, or the Corruption Eradication Commission, partake in overseeing preparatory efforts and other related measures for moving the capital city, the acting speaker for anti-graft body, Ali Fikri, stated in Jakarta on Thursday. Fikri noted that it was part of the efforts to avoid practices of corruption during the process of relocating the capital city to East Kalimantan province, particularly taking into account the infrastructure's development projects in the new capital city, supervised by the KPK. Government has set a target to implement the move in 2024 from Jakarta to parts of North Penajam Pasir District and sections of Kutai Kartanegara District, East Kalimantan. The cost of developing the new capital will reach 466 trillion rupiah, of which 19% will be sourced from the state budget, while the rest will come from the public-private partnership scheme, as well as private direct investment and SOEs. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. North Jakarta police investigators raided two locations suspected to be surgical mass stockpiling locations and seized more than 60,000 masks. North Jakarta Police Chief Commissioner Budi Herdi Susianto said they seized over 60,000 masks. The two locations were in Pademangan, North Jakarta and Central Jakarta. Police also apprehended two suspects in the mass stockpiling case, and both are under investigation at the North Jakarta Police Headquarters. In the last few days, Jakarta Metropolitan Police have carried out several raids of individuals who attempted to gain financial benefits during the coronavirus emergency, especially in the capital city. The stockpiling of masks has become a concern of local authorities and the public amid shortage caused by concerns over the coronavirus in Jakarta. The number of potential disabled voters for the 2020 simultaneous regional head elections Pilkada is estimated to reach 137.247 of the total 105 million eligible voters included on the potential electoral voter populations list. The General Elections Commission's KPU has synchronized the data with the 2019 final voter list through coordination with other relevant institutions, KPU Commissioners Firgian Aziz stated on Thursday. Aziz pointed out that the figure can change based on the result of synchronization. To facilitate and accommodate voters with disabilities, the commissions has set up a polling stations to enable them to access the station. A total of 270 regions in Indonesia comprising 9 provinces, 224 districts and 37 cities will hold simultaneous regional head elections on September 23, 2020. The Investment Coordinating Board drew attention to the fact that investment activities in Indonesia had been affected by the coronavirus global outbreak. Operational activities of several firms were impacted by a plunge in the transaction activities, particularly those having trade relations or receiving material supplies from nations with high infections rates, such as China and South Korea, BKPM spokesman Rizal Kalvari Marimbo noted in a statement. However, the BKPM still recorded investment interest flowing into Indonesia. The impact of the COVID-19 pandemic of the value of investment realization can be measured after the announcement of the realization value of investment in the first quarter of 2020 in April. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Reactions by Countries Facing Coronavirus Outbreak. While, listener, many countries did not think that the new coronavirus, COVID-19, virus could not be conquered until March 2020. After shocking the world since the discovery of this deadly virus in Wuhan, China, until now tension after tension has not subsided. The spread of COVID-19 only moves from one country to another. Previously, the concentration about the spread of coronavirus was in China. Now the COVID-19 is spread to Iran, Italy, and South Korea and other countries. It's hard to predict where else the coronavirus will spread next. Even Malaysia and Indonesia closed the door for tourists from the three countries and tourists from China. Precautions are reasonable. This virus has caused death in various countries in large numbers. In Thailand, the health of school children must be checked before entering their school. In Saudi Arabia, the government has closed the door for the world pilgrimage. Until now, there is no definitive information on when the door to Umrah will be open for international worshippers. Meanwhile, the peak of the Hajj this year is also getting closer. Of course, this is awaited by Muslims around the world. However, the Saudi Arabian government has its own considerations to deal with the corona spread in the Holy Land. Another case is with the France. This country seems calmed from the start with the coronavirus. To these days, school activities in France continue as usual. Based on a public survey conducted by the French government, it turns out that the French public still feels safe in dealing with coronavirus. Although the corona case has been found in France, the French border with Italy as a country that is already quite wet because of corona invasion is also not closed. According to the French Minister of Transportation, Elisabeth Bond, closing the border gate is not the right step to deal with the coronavirus. Finally, people in various parts of the world have to jointly face the coronavirus. We hope that the concern of the world community will soon be followed by information from various countries that this virus can be conquered and information about corona cases that had been successfully treated can be spread to various countries. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to our regular segment of Today in History. Firstly, Real Madrid, a Spanish soccer club, was firstly established on March 6, 1902. Real Madrid is a professional football club based in the city of Madrid, Spain. Founded on March 6, 1902, under the name Madrid Club de Football. The team used the title Real from the kingdom after King Alfonso XIII gave official permit to the club in June 1920. Next event was on March 6, 1957, the Independence Day of Ghana. Ghana was the first black African nation to gain independence from colonial rule. The country gained its independence from the United Kingdom on March 6, 1957, which a few years later encouraged many other African countries to achieve independence. The Republic of Ghana is a country in West Africa bordering the Ivory Coast to the west, Burkina Faso to the north, Togo to the east, and the Gulf of New Guinea to the south. The area is almost two-thirds of the area of Java Island, Indonesia. Ghana is one of the largest chocolate-producing countries in the world, besides the largest aluminium producer in Africa. Formerly, Ghana called the Gold Coast. Then the name of Ghana was taken from Ghanaian Empire. The last information was on March 6, 1961, the day of Army Strategy Command. On March 6, 1961, the Army Strategy Command, or better known as COSTRAT, was formed. The Army Strategy Command is part of the main battle command, or COTAMA, owned by the Army. COSTRAT has number of undisclosed of troops and always ready to operate at the command of the TNI commander anytime. Originally, COSTRAT called the Mandala Command as the core of the Trikora operation, namely the liberation of West Irian. Major General Suharto was trusted as the first man to serve as commander of the Army Strategic Reserve Command, or COSTRAT, before he served as the first president of Indonesia. That was Today in History.
bukan lautan, hanya kolam susu. Kail dan jala cukup menghidupimu. Tiada badai, tiada topan kau temui. Ikan dan udang menghampiri dirimu. Bukan lautan, hanya kolam susu. Kail dan jala cukup menghidupimu. Tiada badai, tiada topan kau temui. Ikan dan udang menghampiri dirimu. Orang bilang tanah kita tanah surga. Tongkat kayu dan batu jadi tanaman. Orang bilang tanah kita tanah surga. Tongkat kayu dan batu jadi tanaman. Bukan lautan, hanya kolam susu. Kail dan jala cukup menghidupimu. Tiada badai, tiada topan kau temui. Ikan dan udang menghampiri dirimu. Bukan lautan, hanya kolam susu. Kail dan jala cukup menghidupimu. Tiada badai, tiada topan kau temui. Ikan dan
well, fellas, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Today's My Indonesia title, Indonesian government issues four policies of export-import stimulus. In order to anticipate the impact of the spread of the coronavirus on the national economy, the government issued four fiscal stimulus. Previously, the government has discounted airplane ticket prices to 10 domestic destinations from Sunday, March 1st to May 31st, 2020, so that Indonesian tourism would continue to move. Secretary of Tourism Ministry Coordinator of Economy Susiwiono in Jakarta on Tuesday, March 3, 2020 said, currently, the government began to issue the second stimulus to encourage export-import activities. Currently, it's time for the government to plan industrial raw material supply, including the future of Indonesian export performance. Therefore, in the second stimulus, there are four policies which will be given by the government, especially to encourage the smoothness of export-import flows. Firstly, the government simplified the regulation of the prohibition of restrictions of commerce related to export, beginning from the regulation of timber verification and legality system for timber product and health certificate. Thereby, all regulations of export commerce should be simplified or abolished. Secondly, reduction of import restrictions. The government also planned to make reduction of restrictions on trade regulation on imports, especially raw material import. Susiwiono emphasized that the import of these raw materials is not to be constrained in the import process. Prohibition of import restrictions are reduced as much as possible. Thirdly, the government is accelerating the import process. The government also plans to accelerate the import process for 500 reputable or high reputation importers based on government data. Lastly, Susiwiono said that logistics costs are reduced by the government. The policy will be done by implementing the Indonesian National Single Window or NSW system, a gateway for communication and integration between existing systems. Susiwiono explained that these four policies were the second stimulus package provided by the government in the effort to anticipate and deal with the coronavirus. Businessmen welcomed the government's plan to provide a second stimulus to face the impact of the spread of the coronavirus. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairman of the International Relations Division of the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin Sinta Kamdani, said the stimulus related to the ease of imports become a breath of fresh air, considering the Indonesian market was in a state of inadequate supply of industrial raw materials. He considered if only relying on the supply of domestic raw materials, later, price increases in the national market would exceed the purchasing power of industry. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Di dalam hidupmu tak selalu
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to introduce you to Sultan Riau Mosque. Indonesia is a country with majority Muslim population, so it is natural that there are a lot of mosques in many regions. Indonesian population consists of multi-ethnicity and tribes, so that the building has various styles and differences in each region. Therefore, the mosque building in Indonesia has an acculturated architecture between the influence of foreign countries and regions. One of them is Sultan Riau Mosque on Penyengat Island, Riau Islands Province. Initially built in 1761, the mosque has a lot of history and uniqueness. Before standing strong and luxurious as its current existence, the Sultan Riau Mosque was originally just a simple wooden building with brick floors, equipped with a tower approximately 6 meters high. However, times went by. The mosque cannot accommodate the growing number of congregation members, so that Yang Dipertuan Muda Raja Abdurrahman VII, Sultan of Lingga Kingdom, Riau, who ruled in 1831 to 1844 era, renovated and enlarged the mosque. This mosque is unique because, according to a tale story, the egg element plays a role in the construction of the mosque as adhesive material for sand, lime, and clay for building the walls. The main building of the mosque is 18 by 20 square meters with 17 domes, which symbolize a number of rakaat or a five-time prayer in a day and night. The shape of the mosque like an onion, and 18 by 20 square meters of main building supported by four concrete pillars. Once you go upstairs and pass the mosque gate, you can find pavilions on the left and right side. The mosque has 13 onion-shaped domes. Another uniqueness of the mosque is the idea and the initiative in building the mosque did not come from the king, but from ordinary people in Penyengat Island. Currently, the Sultan Riau Mosque stands strongly in the 240 hectares area at Penyengat Island, dominated by yellow and green colors. This Y-shaped building looks more interesting than other buildings when it is seen from Dermaga Panjang and Pelabuhan Sri Bintan Pura, Tanjung Pinang City. In the Sultan Riau Mosque, there is also a handwritten Quran manuscripts that were written around 1875 and also sent from Mecca, brought by a royal aristocrat who carried out pilgrimage in 1820. Moreover, there are also crystal lamps from Prussia and tapestries from Turkey, which is quite old. The pulpit of the mosque is made of teak wood by carvers in Jepara, Sentul, Java. This Raja Sultan Mosque is considered to be auspicious for people who have some expectations. So, in certain days, especially on Friday, many people come to the mosque for Friday prayer and to form special prayers in order their dreams come true. to visit the Sultan Riau Mosque, or sometimes it is called the Egg Mosque, you must firstly go to Tanjung Pinang, the capital of Riau Islands province. Then continue to Dermaga Panjang or Sri Bintanpura Port to go to Penyengat Island by boat. From Penyengat Port, you only need to walk about 5 minutes to the Sultan Riau Mosque. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Sultan Riau Mosque. And see you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about Gajah Mada University plants thousands of bamboos in Wanagama for Nature Preservation. Stay tuned with us at www.voanews.id. Gajah Mada University planted thousands of bamboo seeds for the development of the Bamboo Forest Nature Conservation Program in the Wanagama Special Purpose Forest Area, Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta on Wednesday. This development was carried out by the university in collaboration with PT Taspen to create sustainable nature. Director of the Wanagama, Wiko Budi Permadi, said that one of the efforts to preserve nature is to plant bamboo. Ecologically, this plant can store water and fertilize many microorganisms that grow underneath. Wiko also said that aside from being able to store large amounts of water, bamboos also hold good carbon stocks to mitigate climate change. Besides, they have economic benefits because the stems can be a thought building material and bamboo shoots can be a source of community food. The Wanagama Bamboo Forest conservation activity was originally conceived by the University Forestry Faculty as part of the 1,000 units of Bamboo Village movement, which became the strategic plan of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and the Bamboo Lestari Foundation, especially the Yogyakarta cluster, to support the Wanagama Bamboo Forest conservation activities in 7, 13, and 17 plot locations. Taspen provided assistance in the form of 2,300 bamboo betung or giant bamboo planting seeds, which had been planted in stages. In December 2019, planting pass 1 was carried out according to the target of 1,100 seedlings on an area of 1 hectare where the planting location is not far from the river, so that the chance of bamboo plant life would be longer. The next stage of planting 1,100 seeds has been completed, and the remaining 100 stems are used for replanting. In addition, bamboo infusion technology is also applied to anticipate water shortage in the dry season. In this regard, the university also keeps developing technologies that can increase the economic value of the bamboos. That was Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
asmara.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from Papua entitled Apuse. Music is a unique phenomenon which is produced through some musical instruments. For Indonesian people, music is one of ways to express their identities. Every region has their typical music. Peculiarity is also performed in the lyric of the song. It is like in the song Apuse. The song is from Papua and it tells about a grandchild who says goodbye to his or her grandpa and grandma to wander to Doreri Bay. In the past, Doreri Bay in Manokwari became an important seaport with evidence that there are many ships sang in it. Well, listeners, let's listen to the song entitled Apuse.
Aswara kwa, 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 aswara kwa
Voice of Indonesia.
Nafsu dulu baru logika, tinta biru tinggal cerita realita. Oh. Tutup mata, tutup telinga, perhitungan pun tak ada.
Thank you. sesungguhnya ku berpura-pura relakan kau pilih cinta yang kau mau. Sesungguhnya ku tak pernah rela karena ku yang bisa membuat hatimu karena kau pilih cinta yang salah. Aku
listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.